have a seat there on the third row, would you? You watch her now. She's going to look through there and make sure. Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. It's a great chapter, as though there were any duds. Not at all, but sure is a powerful bit of the Word of God. And we want to start in verse 28, leading up to our text, verse 31. Isaiah 40, verse 28 says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles." Isn't that a beautiful picture? "They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." A little boy was fishing, but catching nothing, and a man came by and asked him, "Are you fishing, little boy?" He replied back, "No, not really, just drowning worms." We've all been there before, haven't we? The Shirley family has a long, glorious tradition of catching very small fish. We catch things, but just very, very small fish is all that we catch. We understand it. Sometimes we feel that way, like we're accomplishing nothing, like we're just drowning worms in our life. But if we wait on the Lord, we will reap one day. Have you noticed life has its ups and downs, and it continues as a Christian as well? The roller coaster of life, mountains and valleys, and you got to ride it out. And you got to come off that mountain and build up some speed to help you make it through the difficult times. And then spread your wings and soar, baby, soar. And like the eagle, you can rise above what happens to us here in this world. And I want to talk to you tonight about your waiter, if we can call it that. About your waiter. We need to work on our waiter. That is the part of us that is to wait upon the Lord. Not only waiting in the sense of being patient, but putting our trust in the Lord, waiting on Him and looking to Him for His guidance in all things. I want you to think about with me some examples in the Bible of people who had to wait. Here's some waiters in the Bible. Abraham and Sarah had to wait for Isaac. They had to wait a long time, didn't they, for the child of promise? That's a long time to wait. We felt like we were waiting forever to wait 5 years. They waited a lot longer than that. Noah, 120 years preaching that something that had never happened would happen, that it would rain, and waiting for the time that that would happen. Then he had to wait for the waters to subside when it was all over. Imagine what it's like when you're bottled up in the boat then in the ark all that time. Then there's Joseph. Joseph had to wait for his time in power. But it eventually came. Jesus, when he came to this earth, had to wait for the time to be fulfilled, didn't he? He had to wait for that time, the purpose of his birth. He didn't even start his earthly ministry for 30 years. He had to wait upon the Lord for the right time and for God's plan to come together perfectly, as it always does, if we'll wait on the Lord. Then there's Mary and Martha. When Lazarus died, we talked about that in the funeral Wednesday morning, if you weren't here. "If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died," Mary and Martha each said independently. And they were waiting for him for 4 days to get there, knowing he was their only hope. Then there's the disciples who had to wait in that upper room for the promised Holy Spirit. They had to just abide there and wait for the Holy Spirit that was promised to come. And you know who else is waiting? I am, and you are, awaiting the return of Christ. And this world grows darker and more dreary and more difficult, and we need to grow determined that we will wait upon the Lord and watch for Him and work and witness. Yes, these things help pass the time, don't they? But I think it's important for us to focus in tonight on awaiting, looking for that blessed hope, and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when waiting, here's three tips. When you're waiting on the Lord, when you're waiting for Him about something, number one, remember God's promises. I think it's important when we're waiting on the Lord, to just remember His promises. Commit some of them to memory and recite them, whether they are verses or just general promises in your mind. Like, oftentimes I have to remind myself and say to myself that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oftentimes I have to remind myself of His promise that I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's a good promise to claim, isn't it? Because sometimes you feel like you're alone. And there's so many promises we could go on and on about through God's Word. So many unconditional promises that are made to us. And when waiting, we need to remember God's promises. Number two, when waiting, we need to rest. Rest in God's character. Rest in His character. When things don't seem just right, and you feel like you're waiting on a God who's not coming and like He's not there, you need to remember when things don't seem right, nothing seems to make sense, that you are still in His hands. Not only can you trust His promises and remember His promises, but you can rest in His character. Shall not the judge of the whole earth do right? That's an Old Testament question that's asked, and it's a tongue-in-cheek question. It's a rhetorical question. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Yes, it's in His character to do right. So we need to rest in His character. Remember His promises. And as we wait upon the Lord, we need to rely upon God's love. Rely on His love. Well, in each case in the Bible, it was worth the wait. Something really worthwhile happened because of those who were willing to wait upon the Lord. If we could put it the way that our text says it, they renewed their strength, those who waited upon the Lord. What kind of strength did they renew? Number one, inward strength. Inward strength. When it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, it makes me think of an inward kind of strength. Because as you're waiting, you're not working out, you're not being strengthened physically, necessarily. It's an inward strength, not physical strength. He's talking about moral strength, if you will, spiritual strength on the inside. The people in Isaiah's day that he was writing to were in captivity. They needed inward strength, didn't they? To give them power over temptation. And you know what they needed? They needed to wait. They had a Sabbath debt to pay to God. 490 years in captivity, that's a long time. And they needed inward strength to get them through it as they waited upon the Lord. According to Ephesians 6 and verse 10, God commands us to be strong Christians that can stand. Stand against the evil one. And there's a song that I listen to every now and then, and I remember it especially from my childhood. And an evangelist would come to our church. I still remember his name, Monty Martin. I don't suppose anybody here has ever heard of Monty Martin before. He was a West Texas evangelist, and so big in that area in New Mexico where we were in. And some of you may know this song. He probably didn't write the song. He probably learned it from someone else. But I can still hear him singing it. And whenever I think of it, I think of the way he sang it. If you know it, you can join in. It says, the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make it right. And the God in the good times is still God in the bad times. And the God of the day is still God in the night. That's the God we serve right there. He's the one that we need to wait upon. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What kind of strength? Inward strength, first of all. Many of you have seen the film Chariots of Fire, an outstanding film about a Christian, Eric Liddell, who refused to run in the prestigious 100 meters in the 1924 Paris Olympics. He refused to run because it involved racing in a preheat on a Sunday. And he had a conviction, I don't want to do that. I love God more than that. And Liddell was probably the fastest man alive at that time and had been the favorite to win it all in Britain in the Olympics that year, or win it for Britain there in the Paris Olympics that year. The press knew it. Even the Prince of Wales knew that he could win, and everyone was trying to talk him into running. But he refused to run on the Lord's Day. Instead, he went to the Scottish Presbyterian Church on that Sunday morning and read the lesson from Isaiah chapter 40. And verse 31, of course, seemed to capture his attention as a runner and fit his situation. Well, he had been given the chance to race for Britain in the 400 meters, which didn't happen on Sunday. And it was a race that he had never even run before, but he was given that chance, even though he backed out of the 100. And God honored him for his stand, and he ran the 400 at a 100-meter pace. It was the only way that he knew to run. And so he was out there like Usain Bolt today is, running at a 100-meter pace, even though he had to go four times longer, and somehow God gave him the strength to do that without slowing down. And of course, he won it with a new world record. Well, that's an inward strength, you know? And it's interesting to me that he had claimed that verse on that Sunday when he was supposed to be running, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And after 100 meters, when all of the rest of us would be dead and looking for oxygen, what did God do? He renewed his strength. An outward strength, in his case, a physical strength. But don't you know that had to start on the inside as a spiritual thing with him. We can see so many in the Scriptures who had that kind of inner strength, and we can be charged up, motivated, and encouraged, and just blessed to read their stories. I think of Daniel. Daniel had to have some serious inner strength from God there in captivity. The only reason he was able to say no to sin, I believe, and wait upon the Lord. Thank God for the inward strength he gives those that wait upon him. Now, too many Christians today are asking God to wait upon them, you know? Wanting God to wait upon them. Here's what you can do for me, God. And here's why I go to church, by the way, to give my prayer requests about what I want God to do for me. God's not a waiter, is he? We are supposed to wait upon the Lord. We're supposed to serve him. We're supposed to be all about his business and finding out about what he wants us to do and making him the focus of our lives. And if we wait upon the Lord, he'll give us inward strength. He'll renew our strength. Number two, they that wait upon the Lord will have upward strength also. It's right from our text. Look again at verse 31. After it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, it says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. There are many ups and downs in this life that we live, but God will give us victory over the downs if we learn to wait on him. Now, we're often like Lucy was in the old Peanuts cartoon. Lucy was complaining about her lousy life one time, and Charlie Brown is trying to cheer her up, and he says, into each life some rain must fall. She really appreciated that. Then he thought of another old saying, old cliche. He said, just remember, life has its mountains and its valleys, its ups and downs. And Lucy replied, what I want is ups and ups and ups. And that would be ideal in life, wouldn't it? But we know too much about this world, don't we? That's just not possible outside of God. But they that wait upon the Lord can have upward strength. You can soar. You can mount up with wings on eagles. And with God's help, you can rise above the downs and downs and downs of this world. Now, do we have to call out tonight just for the purpose of learning this, what the downs of this life are? What are the drudgeries? What are the things that we dread about life in general? Let's just call some out so we can get real practical and let God's Word help us in the best way possible. Let's talk about what gets us down. What is it? Payroll taxes, okay? And payroll taxes assumes that you have a job, which is both a good thing and is also one of the downs of life, right? Is that we must work, part of the curse, by the sweat of your brow. And then job loss. So when you got the job, you don't want it, right? That's a downer. When you lose the job, that's a downer. When you get the job back, you got the payroll tax. That's a downer again, right? That's what I'm hearing from that row tonight. Who else? What is it that gets you down in life? Okay, the ultimate. Death is a real downer. Sickness, yes. Felt for Brother Raleigh this morning. He just looked at me, and you don't have to know sign language to know exactly what he's saying. We need to pray for him more as we did this morning. Get you down. The news. Oh, the news and the broadcasts. And yet I can't take myself away. I have to see it. I have to get angry. What else? Anything else? What are you dreading this week? Anybody? What was it? Okay, worry over children. Absolutely. What did I hear? Cleaning the house? If only the Lord would wait upon us, huh? Oh, the honey-do list. And we're just making things up. This isn't real personal tonight, right? We're just saying things that we think could benefit the whole crowd. Dragged out to shop. Part of the curse has got to be that grass grows. Isn't that got to be part of it? And you get your hair just like you want it, and that grows. You know? And you get your lawn just the way you want it, and it's not going to last long. Don't tell me without a lawnmower that the Garden of Eden, that the grass just didn't get out of hand. I don't think that it did. It couldn't have been paradise there. But then part of the curse, you know, not only is it going to grow, but I'm going to have sticky balls from my gum tree all over my backyard. Thorns and thistles, the Bible called it. Those that wait upon the Lord will have upward strength. What does that mean? It means God can help us to rise above all those things. We don't have to get up in the morning saying, oh, only 10 hours until I'm off. We don't have to sit down in our cubicle or get on our assembly line saying, when is break? When is lunch? I remember that in school. I had it worked out where you had this recess at this time and I'm living by the clock for that recess. And after that, then I've just got to get through to this lunch. And then you just got to get through to PE. And then you get out. And then you try to dodge your parents so they don't bring you down with something that you got to do. And then you do what you want to do, you know? But then you wake up the next morning and, oh, no, there it is again. That's really not the way that God wants us to live our lives, folks. He wants us to wait upon Him and renew our strength and then mount up with wings as eagles. He wants to give us inward strength, and He wants us to use that strength to spread our wings and soar, baby, soar, mount up with wings as eagles and rise above. Jesus overcame the world and said He would give us the strength to overcome. And there's the word over, rising above, becoming an overcomer. The new Shrek movie says He's an ogre achiever. we need to be overcomers that rise up. And God will give us those wings as eagles, by the way. We don't have it. And this earth will drag us down without God giving us this inward strength, this upward strength. When we first became Christians, we felt pretty protected in the nest. But after a while, God expects us to get out. And He tries to do some things to move us out. And like Mother Bird eventually does, He gives us a boost sometimes. And it feels like a downward plunge, but it's not meant to be. You know those baby birds would never spread their wings and fly, and they would never hunt for themselves. They would never feed themselves. They would just sit in the nest like they had done for a long time, going, ah, ah, asking Mama to do that disgusting thing she does where she gets something in her mouth and coughs it into theirs. They would allow her to do that forever. And God, our Heavenly Father, pushes us out, and it feels like a plunge. But you can mount up with wings as eagles and rise above. That's our challenge, ladies and gentlemen, to soar on wings as eagles. You know, the eagle doesn't like the mud and the filth of this world. There's a reason why the eagle was mentioned here and not many other kinds of birds that could have been mentioned. If you look for him, he will be on the highest mountain. and up as high as he can go. John 15:19 says, if you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. This means that we need to soar above this world. And Colossians 3:2 says, set your affection on things, what? Above. Not on things of the earth. Not in a way where we're looking down our nose at everyone. Not in a way where we're judging everyone from this angle. It's just a picture of rising above all the filth and muck of this world. God has higher sights for us to set on. Number three, those that wait upon the Lord have not only that inward strength and that upward strength to soar on wings as eagles, but then our text says outward strength. Outward strength. Continuing on, verse 31, after it says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles, says, they shall run and not be weary. That's what happened with Eric Liddell in the 400 meters. I believe it. To run and not be weary. Galatians 6:9 puts it this way. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Translation, if we wait on the Lord. If we wait on the Lord. Notice he didn't say they shall sit and not be weary. It says they shall run and not be weary. In the 1954 Cotton Bowl game, Alabama and Rice, I said that like Forrest Gump, Alabama and Rice were playing, and on one play, the halfback from Rice broke free from the tacklers from Alabama, and he was racing down the sidelines for a touchdown. But coming off the bench, not in the game, was an Alabama player named Tommy Lewis. He ran onto the field as the only hope in his mind and tackled the runner. Of course, this was illegal, so the Alabama player was awarded a touchdown. The Rice team was awarded a touchdown because it was illegal what Tommy Lewis did. But later on, Tommy Lewis was drafted to play pro football. And when asked about it, the team that drafted him said the main reason was that they liked the spirit, that he couldn't stand to lose. He couldn't stand to let that guy run for a touchdown without anybody getting him. And he could stop him, it was in his power, so he did. In other words, he didn't want to be on the bench. He wanted to play, he wanted to get in the game and not sit. He wanted to run, not sit. And that's what we need. We as Christians want to sit oftentimes and not get involved in the work of the Lord, and yet there are those who are involved and running. And when they do, they get weary. And that's when we need to wait on the Lord for that inward strength, that upward strength, that outward strength to continue running this race. That's why we need to lay aside the sin which does so easily beset us, as we spoke of from Hebrews 12:1 this morning. To run the race. Listen to Galatians 5, verse 7. It says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? It's a sad picture of someone who ran and then stopped. Have you stopped running? Have you stopped running for Jesus? Are you not in the game anymore? Are you not on the field? The grandstands of heaven, we said this morning, may just be full of people cheering you on. And that is not as important as what your real focus should be. The Lord is standing at the end of your lane saying, come on, you can do it. Wait on me. Keep your eyes on me. What did the Apostle Paul say about that? To run the race and to not look this way or that way, not look behind, but to finish the race and to finish well. I'm forgetting the exact verse. Somebody remind me about Paul saying to run and put your eyes on the prize. How's that go again? You know what I'm talking about? Which says, yes, thank you. I should have asked my son. This is one of your Olympian verses. He knows it. Dad doesn't know it. I press toward... That's not how it starts, though, right? I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Maybe it's the verse before it. Philippians 3:13. Do we have that? It's a race between me and Roger. Yeah. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. That's looking at the end of your lane. Jesus is standing at the end of your lane, saying, keep your eyes on me. Reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize. That is the finish line. Oh, we want to finish well, don't we? We need to finish well. It's sad when you see somebody not finish well. Well, many people get tired of running for Jesus and get weary even to the point of quitting. But God can get us back off the bench, back in the game, back on the field, out of spiritual retirement. He can charge us up when we wait on Him. He gives us that outward strength we're preaching about here. A little boy told his father one time, Dad, today I beat a snake. The father said, how'd you beat him, with a stick or a rock? He said, no, I beat him running. He was running from that snake, evidently. Listen, we should beat the devil by not only running from his temptation, but by running for the Lord, staying close to Him. One fellow told a story about being on an airliner, making its way from New York to San Francisco. One of the engines caught fire. And the captain came over the loudspeaker system and calmly reassured the passengers that the fire would soon be out, and that besides, our plane can fly just as fine on three engines as on four. Unfortunately, a second engine burst into flames. Once again, the captain assured the passengers, this plane is designed to fly on two engines. It can still keep us up. It's still sufficient. We're fine. And then a third engine was suddenly ablaze. The captain didn't say any more. It was just silence. Everyone was waiting for him to assure them one engine would be enough, but there was only silence from the front of the plane, and soon the captain appeared in the cabin with a parachute on his back, and as he opened the door, he said calmly to the passengers, don't anyone panic, I'm going for help. Sadly, today, many are jumping out of the Lord's work and bailing on God, you know? Maybe they say they got hurt in church or whatever, but really then they punish God when they bail on Him, when they jump out. I don't know about you, but I want to go down with the ship if we go down. That's the attitude that we need to have. But people get weary and discouraged because of the circumstances and bail on God. Okay, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It's an inward strength, an upward strength, an outward strength. And according to our text, it's also an onward strength. Onward. Look at the end of verse 31. After it says, they shall run and not be weary, it says, they shall walk and not faint. You know, sometimes you can't keep up the run. Sometimes it's good just that you can keep going forward. Sometimes you fall and you just get back up and you can't just run immediately. You dust yourself off and you regroup and you just keep walking. And don't faint. Don't quit. God will give us strength for the long haul, in other words. We can't run this life just like a sprint all the time, but like a marathon. And He'll give us the strength to serve Him all the days of our life. A story is told about a construction of the highway that goes out from Miami, Florida to Key West. From island to island, you know, this highway goes today. And in the midst of the construction, a fierce storm destroyed most of the work that had been done at one point, and the man who was in charge of building it all called back to his home office, described the great loss and what had happened in the weather there, and asked, what shall I do? And the home office wired back just two words, go on. Just go on. Just keep going. It seems like such a waste. It seems like everything around you has been destroyed, but just keep on keeping on. Because the point was not necessarily building the road, but doing the work. Just keep on doing it. And God tells us also to go on. The results may not always be there like we want for it to be, but God is looking for us to see if we're just doing the work, doing our job, and are we just going to go on or not? God help us not to be like the guy in the Bible named Demas. Demas was Paul's companion who left Paul and quit the Lord's work right in the middle of it. Help us not to be a Demas. Help us to be like Paul and faithful and to the finish line. Our God, ladies and gentlemen, who made this world in 6 days. And the seventh day, the Bible says, He rested. He rested, why? Have you ever thought about this? why did God rest after 6 days of creating the world? I'll tell you this. He rested not because he was tired. He rested because he was finished. And when you're finished, you can rest, right? We have that rule in our home. You come home, you do your homework, you do your chores, because if we let you just immediately veg out after school, you'll never get back up and do anything. And you're not done, by the way. You're not done. God rested on the seventh day because he was finished. Because he was finished with his work. And one of these days we will finish our work down here and enter into our haven of rest in heaven. But until then, we're to wait upon the Lord for his strength. Do his work, do his will. One last story. There's been a lot of stories tonight. I like stories. A grandfather was taking a nature hike with his 6-year-old grandson. The child was running ahead and came to a creek. And he was about to cross the creek. Grandfather could tell. So he said, "Child, wait for me and I'll get you across." And surprisingly enough, the child did wait for him to get there. And when the grandfather got there, he lifted the child up on his shoulders, and as he waded across the creek, it came up to here on Grandpa. And the child said, "If I hadn't waited for you, I never would have made it across." How true that is. We need to wait on God, because he can get us across any obstacle that life puts in our way. After all, he's a lot bigger than our problems. He's a lot taller than our foes. And even greater than that, he gives us these wings to rise above it all. So let's wait upon the Lord for that inward strength, that outward strength, upward strength, onward strength to run the race. And all of God's people said, that's just one verse from God's Word, but it's packed with a lot of stuff, isn't it? It's powerful, and I hope it's an encouragement to you as it is me for the coming week and for the future. Let's make that our motto. Don't get down. Rise above. Wait on the Lord. Have your strength renewed to go forward for Him. Lord, tonight we thank you for your Word and how it ministers to our hearts. I pray you'd bless us and help us in a practical way to reap benefits because of it. And Lord, I would ask that you would give the strength, especially in our own number where it's needed. Lord, you know many of our own are needing a healing touch, and more than that, that need just a spiritual touch from above and an encouragement. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to do our part. Help us to wait on you. Help us to rest in you. Remember your promises, your character. Remember your love for us. Even in those down times, give us the strength to rise up with wings as eagles and to soar, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Unless you got something to say tonight, I think we're all done here. Amen. You're dismissed.